everyone. This is George Watkins, and welcome to another Faith Producers podcast. Today's message was given at one of our ministry venues that we are involved in throughout the year. The revelation of Jesus Christ continues to be revealed in our generation, and the more that we see and understand Him, the greater understanding that we have about ourselves and who we are, because we are made in His likeness. For more information about Faith Producers Ministries and other resources to strengthen you in your journey, go to faithproducers.com. Consider joining the team of prayer support and of those who give, so that we may continue to announce to the hungry and thirsty the good news of the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. God bless you as you receive today's message.
Only in the kingdom of God can we enjoy this realm of freedom, Lord. Thank you for that. Only in the kingdom can we understand what it means to be destined for things beyond our imagination, things we couldn't create in our own wisdom. Only under the shadow, the banner and the covering of the blood can we truly be guiltless and innocent. Thank you for that. We honor you today, Father, in this house. Thank you for the extraordinary portal that's open over this house. Hallelujah. I sat down the chair. I saw a seatbelt. I said, what's this for? Then when the worship struck up, I knew what it was for. I put it on quick because, whew, when they struck that first note, it was like a suction. I just wanted to go up. Hallelujah. But I knew I had something to do here, so I seatbelted in. I'm still here. Praise God. Have we said good morning to the streamers today? The streamers are out there watching us and listening to what's happening here. And we welcome all those that are tuned in to the Holy Ghost, wherever you be. Hallelujah. I've got just some snapshots to show you today. We're going to draw some pictures. And when I do, there's an opening that you can go through. I'll help you get into a new place today. And by the end of our short session today, there's going to be a maneuver room that you never had. And some of you that have never heard language like you're going to hear today, and words that we speak in this kind of setting are a little odd. I spoke to a couple just last night, and they said, the first time I saw you a few years ago, we went out and said, what kind of whack job was that? But something struck home in their heart. Now, this is where it happens. It's in your heart, not your head. And some of you guys that have been through the religious mills, your head's going to scream when you hear me talk today, because I'm going to say some things that are going to bend you a little bit. But if you'll hold on, God will change your destiny. Praise God. Now, a few months ago, maybe a little longer than that, I was going through a tough spot. And I know it's hard for you to believe that George Watkins would ever go through a tough spot. Thank you for that, but I do. It was a season of time when there was some discouragement that was really shoveling on. And I woke up in the night, sometime in the night, about 4 a.m, and an angel was standing beside my bed, and I asked him what he wanted. And as soon as I did, he leaped right inside my chest. Now, if the devil can do that, angels can do it. Tweak! I just bent somebody, okay? The devil can do it. Now, I don't mean, you know, body, area, atmosphere, whatever you want to put that. And when he did, something happened in my physical, emotional, spiritual self, and I began to gain confidence again. This is one of the things that the servants of the Lord do. They encourage. They encourage. One of my life scriptures is Matthew 8 and 5, when the centurion said, "My servant's healed," and Jesus said, "I'll come," and he said, "Don't do it, just send the word. For I too also have servants, that I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes." And Jesus had a jaw-dropping moment. He said, "Wow, I haven't heard that in Israel. They should have said that, but a Roman had to say it." Now listen to it. Just a snapshot of that little picture of an angel standing beside the bed. Now, every one of you have been encouraged, but perhaps you haven't understood that the angels of the Lord are fiery spirits, spirits of fire, sent out to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Now, if that's you, then you have it. That's how simple it is. You don't have to see it or even, you know, send them, write them, invite them for dinner. They're there. Praise God. All right. Enough of that. Hebrews 4 says that there is a rest to those who have received Jesus Christ, and I want to just take a snapshot of that. Now remember, we just saw a picture of an angel beside the bed coming to encourage. Angels of the Lord encamp around those who put their trust in Him. Why is it so strange in the church? And I travel in all forms, you know, not all forms, but a lot of different levels of churches. And some places, it's almost like I'm speaking Greek if I talk like this. In this house, that's not the case. I know that. But there's someone here this morning that's a strange sound to your ear. But I want you to understand, if you're an heir of salvation, which all humankind are, amen, every breathing body on earth is an heir. They're an heir of salvation, not just Christians who go to Garden Valley Church, but all humans are heirs. Everybody has the possibility. So God has sent His servants, His fiery servants out to minister to those who are heirs of God's kingdom. Praise God. That's you. That's me. Isn't that something? All right, Hebrews 4 then gives us this whole rest situation. And he says we need to enter into the rest. And don't be like the Israelites who missed it because they didn't enter into the rest. Now, let me bring up the Sabbath. And it's a little thorny thought sometime, but the Sabbath. Now, I was raised in the old Pentecostal things, and some of the Pentecostal when they came into Pentecost, they carried a fair amount of baggage. And some of it was the holiness movement, and some of it was theology about the Sabbath, and some of it, we're not Jews, so we can at least walk more than a quarter of a mile, but you got to take a nap on Sunday, and you can't work on Sunday, you know. That's kind of the Pentecostal bent, you know, twist on that attitude. But what was this whole rest thing about? Why did God rest on the seventh day? I'll tell you why He did. Because He was satisfied with what He had done. He was happy, and He said it was good. Now, here's where the Israelites missed it. Here's where Adam missed it. You see, Adam was given all of the world, all of the creation, and he was king of the earth in one form, in one sense, because he had dominion and so forth, right? Now, where did he miss it? He didn't see who he was. He didn't see what he was. He didn't see what his destiny was. He missed the whole thing, and he sold out cheap. He didn't understand. He had it all. All he had to do was walk it out in obedience. Then the Israelites come along, and this is in the third and the fourth chapter of Hebrews. We've been there often. Go there if you'd like later. But I want you to see that the Israelites did the same thing. God delivered them out of slavery, and they were delivered into Canaan land just a breath away. And what'd they do? They believed the 10 spies instead of the 2 spies. And they missed it one more time because they didn't enter into the rest. Now, what is rest? Rest is believing what God says about me. Believing what God says about me. A couple of months ago, God gave me men. My wife brought a comic to me the other day on her phone. She likes, hey, look at this. And it was really funny. It was actually funny. It was really good. But it was the difference between men and women. And I thought, he says, men, we think in boxes, That's why you can watch football and the house is burning down. You don't care. Women, they're all wired. I mean, they can say 4 or 5 things at once. And half of it we're not hearing, right? Because we're boxed. God knows I'm wired that way, so he gives me boxes to experience. And he gave me one the other day, and he said, I want you to call this box, this room, this entryway, believing faith. Now, think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment, because I want to have you experience something with me. Everything you get from God, you have to believe it. I think there's a scripture somewhere in that. If I had time, I'd look it up. It says something like, no one comes to the Father except they believe, something like that. Amen. It's in there. Just trust me, my son. Believing faith. Now, this sounds silly, but this is how the mechanics of my walk happens. God knows my simplicity, so he gives me a room. He says, I want you to enter into this room called believing faith. So he puts a door right in front of me, and I enter in by faith. Now listen, if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen for you. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. Now, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? He who comes to God must believe. He says, come unto me, and if you believe, you'll receive what? Eternal life, everlasting life. So there's this door called believing faith, and I entered into this room, this box, this room called believing faith. Now, in this room then, I found a door called salvation. Wow. Thank God for the Baptists. That's a good big door for them. Amen. Thank God. I mean, they get in there and they can't get out. It's a one-way trip. Sticky tape all over it. Amen. Now, listen. I'm in the room called believing faith. Now, I'm hearing the Lord teach me something that if I don't go through this first door, I can't find another door. I cannot find salvation without going into the believing faith door. You cannot receive Jesus without believing that he is the Son of God and that he has given you eternal life. So this simplicity of this picture God's given me is a doorway into a room called, when I write, I'm writing fast, so I just say BF. Yeah, you get it? Believing faith. Okay, you got it. So I'm in the BF room, and I see this door called salvation, and I'm able to take a hold of that door, open it up, and step into everlasting life. You say, do I have to go all that rigmarole? Can't I just think about, well, do it however you want. George opens the door, goes into a room, and takes a hold of a doorknob and opens that doorknob. I was coming out of my garage a few years ago, and there's a little 8-foot space we call a laundry room, and the door to the kitchen is there, and I didn't turn the lights on. I never do, and I know where I'm going. And the Lord said, what if no one had ever taught you the mystery of the doorknob? Oh, well, I guess I'd be stuck. See, that's a silly thought. Yeah, I've met some Africans that didn't know that. They had a curtain, or some kind of, they didn't have a door anywhere in their village. You need to know how to turn that doorknob this morning and open your door into what God has for you. Now listen to this. Inside of this room then, there was a door called salvation. And as I entered that and enjoyed that, I found another door called, baptism of the Holy Ghost. I took a hold of that door and I opened it, and wow, whammy, something took a hold of me that was way beyond I'd experienced before. Now, you know what baptism is? Baptism is hanging on the front of the bow of the boat. You did that when you were a kid out in the lake with your dad, you know. You looked over and watched the little boat cut the water in the lake. Oh, how fun that is. But in the ocean, when the waves are breaking, that wave breaks over that boat and covers everybody with water. That's baptism. And that's what happens when the Holy Ghost comes in baptism. It overcomes us. Oh, yes, okay. Wow. I found a door called baptism, and then bingo, there's a door called healing, and I took a hold of the door and opened. I didn't know that God would heal the sick until I saw a new door called healing. I took a hold of it, and I believed by faith, and God healed the sick, healed my body in Jesus' name. We traveled in a house trailer when I was a kid. My dad was an evangelist, and he boasted, because he was a faith preacher. Our medicine cabinet that was built into that little trailer house had spices in it. That's all it had. We were good Pentecostals, I'll tell you. No medicine in our home. Glory to God. Oh man, I was out on a camping trip with the men one time in our church, and I had a headache. It was like a drill was going off my head, and I had the misfortune to be sleeping next to a guy that was a Copelandite, and I said, my God, I'd give $5 for an aspirin tonight, but I'm not going to ask this guy. Now, I don't know why I told that story, except there's still a wound in there somewhere I'm being healed of. Amen. If you take medicine, just pray over it like I do once in a while. Lord, let this medicine... You know, I found out about faith. Faith is great, and you need it, and you got to have it. But thank God for medicine, because most of us would be dead before we ever heard about faith. Amen. It's grace. I'm off on another subject there, ain't I? Now listen to this. I stood in that believing room. Now listen. One day I was standing in there, and it was like a bing, 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 bing. All of a sudden, as far as I could see, there were doorways down that hallway. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, everything that you would ever want from the kingdom is in this room called believing faith. Go up to the door you have a heart for. Go up to the one that you need. Open that door and step into faith. Do you need hope this morning? Open your hope door. Do you need encouragement this morning? Open your encouragement door. Whatever you need is in that room called Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be zotzot, saved, delivered, and made whole, right? Amen. How simple can it be? I just go into my BF room and boom, all things are possible to him that believeth. I know this is kind of a general casting of the seed, but there's a bunch of people watching us this morning in various places of the earth, and I just sense that the seed's going out a long way into some hearts that are listening this morning from this house and from this simple word this morning that's going to change your life forever just by that simple illustration of a BF room for you. There's one waiting for you. Put your hand on that doorknob and enter in. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you a story. This is the rest of the story out of Luke 15. Maybe you haven't heard it lately. Just let me refresh you. Some call it the prodigal son. I call it the loving father. But let me tell you the story about the loving father and this prodigal son illustration. One day there was a farmer or a rancher, a man of wealth, who had two sons. And one day one of the sons came to him and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance now." So his dad, being a loving father, knowing his son's propensities, said, "Okay, I'll give him to you." And he gave him a third of the inheritance. Now, two-thirds in the Jewish custom goes to the elder, but a third went to the second boy. And so he took it. Now, it says it wasn't many days after that. Now let's just take a snapshot here for a moment, because I want you to see the behind the scenes of this story that we don't hear very often. Here's the behind the scenes of the story we don't hear very often. It's the story of a father who knows the boy, understands the son, loves the son, knows his character, and plans in advance. You ever hear God say, "Oops"? No, you're never going to hear that, are you? So the son takes off. Now, behind the story that is not talked about very often, the father had already planned, and he sent his servant incognito to follow the boy. And that servant went everywhere the boy went. And every day the servant sends home a message. He's still alive. He's spending money like wildfire, but he's still alive. Message came home one day that he's broke. He's out of money. The next message came in a few weeks later, says, "Well, your son's now an indentured servant at the pig farm." Now, I want to tell you, the father is loving the son all the time. Pig farm or not, loss of identity or not, he's loving the son. So he says to the servant, "I want you to go to that pig farmer, and I want you to pay his debt, because the boy can never come home. They'll kill him if he leaves. They'll put him in jail if he tries to break covenant with that indentured servant." He says, "I want you to pay the debt." So the servant, who has been hiding in the shadows all this time, goes to the pig farmer, pays the debt. Now the boy's still in prison, in debt prison. He's still feeding or trying to, maybe even eating the food. We're not sure. He says he wanted to. He's still in prison. He's still broke. He's still lost. He's still hurting. But his debt is paid, and he can go home anytime he wants. He just doesn't know it. So what does Dad do? Dad says, "I've got to do something about this, because that boy is as dumb as a post." So he puts together a team. It's kind of like a musical team or something. He says, "I want you to go down there, and I want you to start passing the word around town that the boy is free. I want you to start telling the story about freedom and make it a rumor if you want, but get it back to him. Let it whiff across his mind at night like Job 33. There's something more for you." And every person that breathes air knows something's going on. They just can't explain it. Every person on earth has a quest for something better, but they're usually bound and broke by some custom or some brokenness. One day he heard the rumor, and the Bible says he came to himself. And when he did, he got up and went home. Now, let me tell your story. One day, in the creative heart of God, the bosom of God, God reached into his creation that he'd already made and drew out a spirit and sent it into your mother's womb. And with that spirit, he knew your propensity. With that spirit, he sent a servant called an angel. There's an angel with everyone that goes along. And there's a book that's been written about you, Psalms 139, that tells every day of your life, so that angel has that tucked under his arm, walks alongside of you, and every day the angel is reading to you your destiny. There's things in your heart that are wanting to break out, and there's ideas you have, and there's passions you have that are just cramped in that little cocoon of your little skinny mind that you think about every day. But the angel of the Lord says, there's something better for you. This is what you're really meant to be. This is what your creator, your father, has made you. And yet the propensity of the son is he's going to take the gift that his father gave him, all the resources, all the inheritance, all the wisdom, all the education, all the inventions, and dumb it down with some kind of habit and brokenness and idolatry and immorality and fear and hopelessness. All those things dumb us down until we're broken into a pit or a pig pen. And yet, listen to this. Before the foundation of the world, the Father sent out and paid the debt to the old pig farmer. He paid your debt already. You are already paid for. Hallelujah. And then one day, the father's looking at you and says, that boy needs help. And so he comes along and he pokes old George Watkins in the ribs. He says, I want you to go out and spread the word. I want you to give the good news. And so I started preaching the good news early. I learned it well. I said, you're going to hell if you wear red. You're going to hell if you go to the movies. You're going to hell if you play pool. I had it really down well because I was trained by the best. Then I discovered, whoa, maybe that's not the whole message. Maybe there's grace in this thing. And I have progressed past that. God sends me out. God sends a team out. And the gospel then is one note. Hey, boy, your debt's free, freed and paid. Go on home. You can go home now. And I'm saying this to some here and there on the internet or here in the house. I'm saying you can stand up on your feet and you can be free from the bondage and the craziness and the cramping of that happens when we get pushed into a box of doubt and fear. You can, because Jesus already paid the pig farmer. Whoa! He sets you free from every fear, doubt, sin. Every sin you've ever thought of committed or ever committed is already forgiven. Get up and go home. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, boy, what a good job I have. All I have to do is say, go home. You are free. Praise God. Oh, so often we just bring the paint bucket in and say, scoot over, I'm going to repaint your prison cell so you'll feel better about your bondage. No, I'm coming carrying the blowtorch and cutting the hinges off this gate. Amen. Oh, you talk about old Samson. I've come to pack the gate away, and you're not locked in anymore. Praise God. I'm going to prophesy right now. I'm going to prophesy. I hear the unclicking of the lock. I'm hearing the shuffle of feet coming out. I'm hearing the clank of that gate slamming back against an open wall, and I'm hearing the rejoicing of a son that realizes, a daughter that realizes they are free. You are free. Someone listening to my voice, I know it sounds a little broadcast seed, like I could hit somebody anyway, but this is a prophetic word to the heart of someone. I tell you, those words that were sown in your heart when you were 5 and 8 years old and 12 years old, I remove them from your life. I take the wound of rejection out. I break the power of brokenness in relationships in a family setting when you were just a child. I loose you. Some of you are 40 and 50 years old, and still hear the sting of a father or a mother put you under and put you down. I break that. You are free. You are free. God has paid the debt. Glory to God. Woo! Nombre mangelico paia. This is tongues for those who've never heard it. Manjombre mangelico to sapaia. I'm speaking to God, not to men. Manjombre mangelico paia. This is the interpretation, not the translation. There is a mountaintop, says the Lord, that has your name on it. On that mountaintop, there is a throne, a chair, a place of rest that has your name on it. From that mountaintop, I've already destined you to rule your world with authority and peace. Come up now. Come on, come up now. It's yours. Step into that place of believing faith and step on your place of mountaintop ruling. In Jesus' name. That's a prophetic word. Receive it in Jesus' name. This is going to be one of the most wonderful moments. My spirit has just zinged out through the internet. And I'm sensing, feeling, looking into, having a picture of various places, all in all sorts of settings. Even internationally, what a miracle that would be, that is. But this morning right here, I'm inviting some of you to come home. Some of you that have a brokenness or a fear. Some of you have never received Christ. Perhaps you've let it fall by the wayside and you need a reconnection. I'm welcoming you home this morning. The Father has already embraced you. The Father has loved you when you didn't even know He was around. You have potential. And when you get home, He's going to give you the ring and the robe and the fatted calf again, and you're going to step into your destiny that you thought was lost forever. Some of you have gone on a detour that you thought you'd never get back to center, but God's going to bring you back with vengeance, and you're going to see a multiplication of that inheritance come back to you. Some of the gifts you thought you've lost, some of the time you thought you've lost, some of the relationships that have been broken, God's going to renew things that are going to amaze you in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to ask you, those that are here feeling the tug now, come and stand with me right now. Come on home. Amen. If you're coming for the first time, I want you to come stand right over here because I want to minister to you in just a minute. But all the others that are coming, I want you to come stand right here. We're going to have a time of a welcome home party right now. Come on. Go on. Let's all stand together so you slip out. Amen. Just come stand with me. There's something in your life you want to come home to. Something in your life you want to be reconnected to. Something that you need to have God reconnect this morning as if the prodigal was coming back. Amen. 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 Quickly, quickly. Come on. Amen. I haven't missed this. Just step out. There's something going on that's going to just break loose here in a minute. Come on. Come on. Oh, patopa soparandan gelebatopaya. Helebadondo ramasaramarandala makota sat. I'm just speaking to the Lord right now. Doesn't need to be interpreted. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. There's some bondages here that need to come down. Bondages, habits, things that you can't get shake yourself from. Come on. This is coming home time. There's some things that you just get trapped in every week or two. You fall back into something just breaking your heart and causing your faith to be destroyed. Come on down. This is your time right now. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. 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 Oh my. The God, the plea of the Spirit. I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it in my ear. The plea of the Spirit. Oh, that plea, that passionate plea out of Hebrews 4. Oh, that my people would believe and enter into rest. Oh, that my people would believe and enter into rest. Can you hear it this morning? Oh, that my people would see what they who they are in Christ and what God has done for them. All right. We're not counting heads. We're just waiting for that click in the Spirit. Then I'm going to pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. I see a man on the internet right now streaming that his wife has just left him and he's alone sitting in his room. Circumstances of the whole situation are heartbreaking. There's been a lot of guilt and there's been a lot of accusations, but I speak to that individual man right now to take courage and cast your care, cast this thing on the Lord and rest in the fact that God is already out ahead of you. And if you'll trust the Lord, you'll see a reunion of this and you'll see a healing of this broken thing in Jesus' name. Yes, we can do that. Yes, we can prophesy long distance. I just did it. Glory to God. Oh. I don't usually wait, but there's a few more that need to come. Some things that you're wrestling with right now. I just want to shuck this thing right. I'm going to shuck it. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to step back into my welcome home party. I'm coming back to the Father's house. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Let's just take another minute. Is there anyone this morning? Anyone else? Is there anyone that has never received Jesus? And want to be one of those baptized guys like we saw. Man, what a great picture that was today. If you've never received Jesus, this is your moment. This is your hour. This is your day. The Father has already released you, and I'm inviting you to come and receive the wonderful forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody clear this morning? Okay. All right. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Father. This is such a sacred moment. Just take a moment here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. There's some things working in the congregation that is amazing. God's grace is working in a bunch of hearts right now. Didn't have to come up here. I know I was calling you for it, but some of you are getting it anyway, and I want you just to keep in that. Just keep that thing working. It's going to work through the day into Monday and Tuesday. By Wednesday, something's going to click. Something's going to speak to you. Just let it work in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I release the Holy Spirit. You know, I think it'd be great and needful if the prayer team would come and stand behind each one of these, so that they can feel the strength of this house behind them. I believe each of us are probably brothers and sisters and well-known, but this is a moment of coming back to a place of freedom in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. My dear sister, my dear young lady, I tell you, God long ago has released you unto fullness and wholeness. And You have not known how complete you're free. You still have lived for a season or two in the bondage or the hurts or the wounds, but today you're coming into freedom. And it's going to surprise you and scare you in a way, because it's going to be so free. You'll not feel comfortable at first, because we get comfortable in the old haunts. But God says, I'm loosing you unto a new life in Jesus' name. I'm releasing you under the ways that you have just dreamed of. I'm putting a heart in you that's going to be so free that you'll think that you need to go back and work a little bit, but you'll be reminded God has paid the debt. Enjoy it this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're just going to take a few moments before we dismiss. Just keep your spirit, your faith, and your prayers right with these. I'm just going to take a few moments to say a prayer to pray for just a moment, and then we'll begin to step into this day with faith in Jesus' name, the name of the Lord. We release. We bring wholeness, Lord. We bring wholeness. Now, when I stepped up to you and laid hands on you, I heard a voice in my ear very loudly, and this is what it said. Shut up. Shut up. There's voices in you that I'm commanding you to turn to them and tell them. That's a crude word. We don't say it, you know, it's not a polite way to say it, but you need to impolitely tell those things you've heard for so long to shut up. Because they have no history, they have no future. The history's been canceled, and you are free from those voices. And the accusations are not accurate. They are not true. They do not go on eternally. Those accusations may have been there for a second. They might have been something somewhat truthful when it happened, but that's gone. God's forgiven, God's released, and He is making you into that new creature that you see and dream and hope for. You are have been given the release and the freedom into the Holy Spirit and into the peace of your soul. I release your soul from bondage. I release your imaginations from bondage. I release your emotions, and your spirit has already been freed. I release the cocoon around you. Open up and let the Holy Ghost flow through you now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I see you're walking kind of slow this morning, dear one, but that has nothing to do with your spirit person. That has nothing to do with your inner person. The outward person's a little slow right now. God's in the process of restoring you, but I'm telling you, your inner person has already been free, and I want you to run. I want you to skip. I want you to dance before the Lord inside your spirit world. I want you to sing. I want you to fly. I want you to be loosened unto God. God, you watch as your spirit is loose. Your outer body is going to catch the hint and begin to catch up with a spirit inside of you as God releases you unto freedom in Jesus' name. All right? I say that very boldly, but I believe you received it that way, haven't you? Good. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know what your middle name is, but I heard it was trial. You have so many of trials. A trial is a kind of a tough day, tough time, uphill, backwards, broken wheel on the car, can't see through the fog. It's called a trial. I'm telling you something right now. The God of all mercy is not only going to bring you through your trial, but give you victory in the middle of it. And there's something happening in you right now that's just overwhelming, but God's going to give you peace in the middle of it, and it's not even going to change much, but the peace is coming, and when that happens, you're going to the trial's going to change, the circumstances are going to flip upside down, and in almost overnight, it would seem there's going to be a change that you're going to say, how could that ever happen? But God's already given you the peace of it, so just receive it by faith. Amen. Enter that little room that I talked about. Take a hold of that doorknob that says peace. Open that door and step into your peace right now. Amen. Just see yourself do it. It's kind of like a little, you know, video game, if you want to play it that way. Just see yourself step through that doorway into peace. There it is. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Will you be obedient to that? Okay, I'm going to follow you around. Keep peeking at you, see if it's working, because I'm gonna stand with you in this, okay? All right, you're not alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, you're running on four cylinders and you got eight. What's going on here? You got a hot rod and all you're putting around like a Volkswagen. In Jesus' name, Lord, I connect the spark plugs and the juice back in this heart. I connect the power in this thing. I turn on the blower, Lord. Let that thing blow in there. Let the strength of the Holy Ghost come back to this man. In Jesus' name, warm up this engine, Lord, and tune it fine for the drag strip and the racetrack. This guy's got a race ahead of him that's only just begun, and he's been pumping tires, trying to get the flats out. I release him back to the Father's house. I say, I want you to enter then into this room called faith and see God's change and get that inheritance back where it belongs, boy. God's got a day for you that's going to be a miracle day. And I release I've got my hand on a knife that's been plunged into your chest, and I'm pulling that knife on out. Someone pierced your heart with a knife, and I'm pulling that thing out. And as I do, God's going to heal the wound. God's going to heal the bruise, and you're going to get your breath back, and you're going to get your strength back, and you're going to see that the tomorrows are filled with glory in Jesus' name. Okay? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Mr. Playboy here. Mr. Playboy. Now, I'm not saying he's in the negative side, but I saw him. Amen. When I hit this guy here, there was a wave of glory that began to go off of him like an ocean wave. And I looked over here and I saw old Mr. Beach Boy, Playboy, hanging 10 right in the edge of a surfboard. And he had a big grin in his face and he was flying. He was flying. He was free, man. He had that California tan. It was the best weather you could ever think of. I'm telling you, it was the day that California was just in its prime, and he was hanging 10, and he was happy. That's the picture God has of you. That's where God is intending you. Get back up on the surfboard. Hang those little toes over the edge. Put your face into the wind and give your Father a grin, because he's done it. You can't do anything. You can't work it out. You can't help God out. You can't improve it. Just enjoy the ride, boy, in Jesus' name. Father, I release the anointing of this word over every person that's heard it. Let it work as leaven in the loaf and seed in the ground. Let the Holy Ghost water it, nurture it, and bring it forth into fullness. I release the anointing for everything that we've done in this house this morning. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen.
This is George Watkins again. Thank you for spending some time with us today on our podcast. I trust the message that we have brought is an encouragement and a strength to you. Go to our website, faithproducers.com. You'll find other resources there that will bless you. And be sure and hit the subscribe button, so that when a podcast comes your way, you will be notified. Until next time, may God bless you richly.